Hello and welcome back to our podcast. My name is Alex and we're going to be going over social media and its impact on youth development. So I'd like to firstly go over and meet everyone on our panel.
I'm Alex, I'm a junior.
I'm Addison, I'm a sophomore.
I'm Jeff, I'm a senior.
And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going over four major questions. We're going to go over how has the use of social media developed over time? How does social media impact cognitive development? What impact does social media have on the mental health of the younger generation? And what are the positive effects and uses of social media? So first, Addison, if you'd like to go over the first question.
Yeah, so I think in order to kind of dive into this, we should take a look at kind of what teenagers and younger kids, what social media platforms they're using most. So currently, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat are four of the top five social medias that are used. Facebook used to kind of dominate the social media world as far as teen usage goes. Before 2018, they had about 71% of teens using the platform, and then when 2018 came, that went down to about 51%, whereas about 7 in 10 adults were still using Facebook. Around that same time, 2018, the shift kind of went towards other platforms. For example, Snapchat was at 69%, Instagram was at 72%, and YouTube was at 85% of teen usage. Do you guys have any insight on why maybe that shift might have happened?
Yeah. So originally, it seems like social media was just used purely for communication. And today, it's not only used for communication, but it's more as like building a brand or promoting a business. And just thinking of the development since I was a kid, I used to use things like Uvu to video chat and like AIM. But now I send pictures and retweets and send them to people as my number one form of communication. And also something important for me as I've grown older is just following people on Twitter that help me or help educate myself in what's interesting to me.
And I think that the shift is happening due to both like trends and privacy reasons. Facebook posts are kind of like Twitter posts in how they're made completely public for the entire world to see. And I think that younger people now have more of a desire for privacy on their social media. So they move over to things like Snapchat and Instagram, whereas Instagram you can set your account on private, Snapchat your stories expire after one day. And so things like Facebook where people can go back into old posts, dig up old tweets and embarrassing things about one another, people just don't necessarily want to be as involved in that as they were in the past. And also just due to trends, since you had mentioned that older people are now using Facebook, people don't necessarily want to be on what older people are on, and it's no longer considered cool to be on, and so they shift over to newer platforms.
Yeah, I agree. I think young people have just really short attention spans. If you think about it, MySpace used to be a huge platform for young people, and everyone just wants to be on the new coolest trend, the new cool thing. But I know personally my use of Facebook dropped dramatically after my parents started using it and other people that age. So I think young people also want to be amongst their peers.
Yeah, I definitely agree with all of those points. And going off of what you just said, young people do want to be among their peers. And it seems that younger kids are starting to kind of pop on these trends of being able to create these social media platforms. Currently, the minimum age to open an account on most social medias, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok, and Snapchat, is the age 13. However, in the U.S., about half of American children have a social media by the time they turn 12 years old. So do you guys think that this is a problem, or do you think that social media sites should kind of like do more to make sure that younger children aren't making accounts on their platforms?
Yeah, I think there's only so much that like social media, so different social medias can do to like hinder children who are trying to make something. I think it's more in the parents' hand to try to educate their child as much as they can. And I know it's kind of far-fetched, but like schools implementing maybe tiny programs to just educate kids on what they're getting into and use different examples of social media to maybe teach them what's smart and what's not smart.
Yeah, and I think it's definitely more the parents' jobs to try and restrict their children's usage, because social media companies can't really micromanage kids the way the parents have. there's millions and millions of people who are on these social media companies. I think that there's nearly a billion on some of them. And so it's just, it can't be expected for enormous companies to be able to track the movements of one or two children that are on the platform itself. It's much easier for a family of, for instance, a family of four, two parents and two kids. It's much easier for the parents to look at the two kids' usage of social media rather than one company monitoring the actions of millions of people.
Yeah, I agree. There's not a lot a social media platform can do about kids making accounts or lying about their age, but it is up to the parent or guardian to look after what their kid is doing.
Yeah, kids are, I would say the kids are definitely going to be joining these social media sites regardless of kind of what laws or rules are instated. But I think that it's important to also take a look into kind of how that affects those younger kids. So I'll let Alex take that over.
Yeah, so recently a study's come out that says social media has lowered our attention spans from 12 seconds to 8 seconds, which is just below that of a goldfish. So with that being said, how young do you guys think is too young to be on social media?
I'm not sure there's a exact age that is too young. I think it varies. Everyone matures at different rates, but I think it's most important to just be responsible and know the risks associated with using social media.
I know that once you get a social media, you're kind of able to be exposed to a lot more things. So that can be a danger for younger kids just because there's some kind of regulation on what you can and can't post on most social media websites. However, there's still going to be posts that aren't really suited for young children. And for them to be able to be on those platforms and be able to see those things could definitely be a danger.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there should be a specific age that's too young, but just as soon as you know what you're getting yourself into, I think that should be the age. I think it depends on how mature you are. I don't think a specific age should be like a guideline on when you get something.
Yeah, I think a lot of it just depends on like maturity levels and how aware you are of the content you're being exposed to. And so speaking through that, a lot of companies post advertisements on social media, and a major part of this is YouTube. And so I have a clip real quick of a large influencer, Jake Paul, in one of his popular music videos with nearly 17 million views of one of his music videos. So let's check that out. Merch, buy that merch, buy that merch. Say, all I want for Christmas is that Jake Paul merch. So, going off of that, Jake Paul has a very young fan base, and so his fans are extremely young, extremely impressionable, and a lot of times they aren't necessarily old enough to be able to take into account when that's an advertisement and when it's just a regular video. So do you guys think that children should be advertised to on social media, and at what age is it appropriate to start advertising?
I think in general it's unethical to advertise to children. They don't really have any purchasing power, and they're kids, obviously. They don't really know that they're being targeted by these very branded messages, and I just think it's a little inappropriate to take advantage of their ignorance in that regard. But at the same time, I think that speaks to parents who need to make sure their kids are responsible and know what they're getting themselves into when they're using these platforms online.
I think that advertising to younger kids is kind of just something that's going to be inevitable. They're advertised to from the moment they start watching TV, or they start going to any store and seeing advertisements for toys or different things like that. I think that that's not just something that we have to be worried about for social media, but something that is just something that we should think of just kind of in general. I think things would be a little different if they were in charge of making the purchases. However, it is their parents that are going to be the ones that are paying for the different things that they want because of advertisements and things like that. So I wouldn't say that it's a prominent threat to children. However, I do think that they are advertised to and they are more susceptible than older people.
Yeah, I agree. I think just like looking at TV and seeing advertisements is much different than being on social media and seeing something that's tailored towards you. And I also agree with both of them that like your parents ultimately have to make the last decision in what you buy. So as old as you are, if you have a credit card or debit card, then you're probably old enough to buy it. So I think until then, it's really just the parents' decision and not the kids.
Yeah, definitely. And so with these young kids, like you guys have mentioned, they don't have money by themselves, and the parents are going to be the ones who are making the purchases. And so since the parents are the ones making the purchases, they should be cognizant of what their kids are watching and why they think that way. A recent study from the University of Sheffield in the United Kingdom said that children ages 10 to 12 are still only able to spot advertisements 75% of the time. And so I think that creators themselves sort of also have a responsibility in just maintaining the boundary between when they're advertising versus when they're making regular content. And I think that that they should be more explicit when they're saying that it's an advertisement until the children can recognize it by themselves. So should social media influencers with young fan bases be able to advertise sponsored content to their fans?
I think it's tricky because obviously, like you said, kids don't always know that it's an advertisement, and they're very impressionable and at risk for advertising messages. But at the same time, someone like Jake Paul, whose target audience is people who are like 12 years old, like who is he supposed to advertise to then?
Yeah, I think that as long as it's blatantly obvious that an advertisement is an advertisement, it's less of a scare. However, with things like Instagram, in order for someone to be able to post an advertisement, they have to use the hashtag ad or something similar to that, just to kind of make it clear that it's an advertisement. However, sometimes those are kind of buried in a bunch of other hashtags, and so it's harder to tell. But I think that with young children, it's important to make it very blatantly obvious that if someone is posting an advertisement, it's clearly an advertisement.
Yeah, the thing I kind of think of when looking at people who are promoting different things on Instagram is, like, when I was younger, if I followed someone that I really liked, I would definitely think about getting what they had or what they're promoting, no matter what it was. So that's something interesting that you can think about, too, when looking at famous people advertising for young kids.
Yeah, definitely. And so a lot of times these advertisements create like an in-group of who has the most cutting-edge thing, who has the most up-to-date, and who has the coolest things that a lot of times are advertised to them on social media. So I'd like to then go to Jeff with his question. What impact does social media have on the mental health of the younger generation?
Yeah, so I wanted to start off by giving a few statistics on the topic. In 2016, an estimated 44.7 million adults over the age of 18 had a mental illness in the United States, which is staggering. And among those people, young adults aged 18 to 25 had the highest rate of mental illnesses. They're also the people who use social media the most. One psychology professor at San Diego State discovered that teens who spend 5 or more hours a day online are 71% more likely to have at least one risk factor for suicide compared to teens who use the internet less. And then another study found that greater Instagram use is associated with greater self-objection and concern about body image. So I wanted to ask you guys, do you think that social media is having an effect on the mental health of younger people?
I would definitely say that social media has a really big effect on mental health, especially of younger people, just because they're kind of more impressionable. For example, like when people are posting on Instagram, for example, you see only the best parts of their lives and the most beautiful parts of their lives. And so it's kind of hard to get an idea of what their life is like outside of Instagram. And that is a problem once you start to compare your own life to them and you start to kind of worry about if you're as good as them or if you're as pretty as them. And so it definitely has a really big impact on that as far as mental health goes.
Yeah, I think that a lot of it comes to do with like growing up with social media. The younger generation doesn't really know what life is like without social media, whereas the older generation does. And so the older generation would use it more towards like keeping up with friends and like the older usages of it, just keeping up with friends, posting pictures, saying like, hey, how are you doing? Those type of things. And the younger generation is gonna more so put their entire lives on social media. And so when you have larger influencers that only post the highlights of their lives, the expensive vacations that they go on, the fancy things that they have, then it can lead to more of like a fear of missing out or just a negative impact on social media. I think that it sort of is a double-edged sword of where kids know, okay, these influencers are only posting what's good in life, but when you have that constant stream of, hey, this is good from this person, this is good from this person, this is good from this person, then it can sort of upset them when their situations aren't as good as the influencers.
Yeah, I think one of the negative effects it has on mental health is like reading all the different articles about like girls or teenagers that lead to be anorexic because of how they portray all the models and things on social media. And there's a quote from University of Pittsburgh study that said, while social media outlets do not directly cause eating disorders, they may normalize disordered eating behaviors and discourage recovery. Another concern is that such online communities can be a hotbed for bullying, as hurtful words are far easier to spout from being behind a laptop screen. So it's really looked at, I mean, it's really important to look at how the images are portrayed by the younger generation.
Yeah, I think those are all really good points. A recent report by the American Academy of Pediatrics actually defined the term Facebook depression, and they defined it as depression that develops when teens and preteens spend time on social media sites and then begin to exhibit classical symptoms of depression due to the intensity of the online world. Some factors that can contribute to this are kids feeling inadequate due to the in-your-face friend tallies, status updates, pictures of other people having a great time. However, there are well-adjusted kids who social media actually boosts their self-esteem because they already have positive feelings about themselves and they're getting great responses online. So what steps do you think platforms and users should take to limit the negative effects of mental health?
I think that what companies can start doing is they can start trying to push sort of a realistic narrative. I think that one thing that Instagram has just revealed is that they're getting rid of like the following page, so you can see what how the people you're following are interacting with other pages. And that was done in the past week or so. I think that that's a step in the right direction, is you're not really obsessed with like who's interacting with you versus who is interacting with everyone else. And I think that also influencers have a pretty big responsibility of what they should do when they're posting big glamorous things like their vacations to exotic countries. They should just be like, hey, this isn't my life all the time. Like, for instance, you can take a photo shoot and then have photos for the past like 6 months, and you can like bring forward the narrative that you're just living in paradise when in fact the pictures are all from just one day. So I think that being more transparent about what you're posting and like the context around it will definitely help like limit the negative impacts.
Yeah, I think it's also important to just kind of like be cognizant of the fact that what you're seeing isn't the full picture when you're going through social media. I think the different platforms kind of have different impacts as far as that goes. For example, like Snapchat, when you're Snapchatting someone, you're getting just a picture of their face in the moment, unedited, kind of as they are. Whereas if you're scrolling through something like Instagram, you're seeing pictures that they may have taken 100 pictures and picked one and then edited it and then photoshopped it. And so you're not really like getting the full picture of what they're like in real life. And so I think it's just really important to be cognizant of what you're looking at and kind of not let it affect you and how you feel about yourself too much.
Yeah, there's some other studies that show that social media doesn't necessarily contribute to mental health in a negative way, but rather that it disrupts and takes away from important positive activities such as good amounts of sleep and exercise. So do you think that's a factor in these negative effects that we're seeing in young people? Or is it a combination, or what do you guys think?
I think maybe overall happiness is taken away when children just spend their time on social media. Like, obviously, if you don't have enough time to go outside or talk to people in real life, it could really affect, like we talked about earlier, your cognitive development. So I think it's important to have social media at times, but also know when it's time to put it down and go and make friends and play outside and do what every kid's supposed to do.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that it's sort of like a combination effect. Like you had said, the positive activities like sleep and exercise are taken away when you're constantly using social media. And so when you could be out doing those positive things that help you like raise your self-esteem or like keep it high when it's high, you're instead going on social media and seeing what everyone else is doing rather than doing something yourself. And so that can negatively impact it as well.
I think that for kids especially, being on social media or the internet in general kind of takes away them being kids. I have four younger siblings, all different ages, and I remember growing up with my older brother, who's just a few years younger than me. We would always like play in the backyard, make up all kinds of games. We were super creative just because we had to be. We didn't have YouTube and we didn't have all of these different internet like accesses that younger kids have today. Whereas my youngest sister is 8 years old, and she's really, really into like YouTube and watching Minecraft videos and different things like that, and less interested in going outside and jumping on the trampoline and being a kid. So I think that that's definitely something that is a worry as we go into the future, just children having access to those things.
Yeah, I think it's really important to strike a healthy balance, and I think a lot of that might end up being falling on the parent. But at this point, we'll go to Alex with our last question about the positive effects of social media.
Yeah, so we have looked at some negative effects. For example, social media being incredibly addictive and it causing self-image issues. And although both are very important and you shouldn't ignore them, it's important that you focus on the positive aspects rather than the negative. And the first one that came to mind when I thought about this question was how it enhances our connectivity. And it's obviously very simple, but it connects anyone worldwide, no matter where you are, whether it's a relative or a camp friend. And one example I have is that my mom is constantly in contact with her great aunt who lives in Europe. And since they have that connection, we were able to visit them this past summer. And I think without Facebook, it would be hard for us to ever have gone and met them and seen like how locals live. And secondly, on a more formal note, social media helps people seeking a new job, whether it's Twitter or the big ones, LinkedIn, because it's like an online resume and it's becoming very big for people to connect. So have you guys noticed that you feel more connected to people through social media?
Yeah, I would say I definitely do, especially over the summer. Since we're college students, we all come from different parts of the country, and so and even across the world. So when I have friends from, for instance, Britain or from India or from Australia, whenever they visit their families, we can still stay connected rather than having to hope that maybe one of these days, like over the summer, we'll be able to meet. We can like help plan that. We can help like give each other life updates when we're not face to face, and just to stay good friends.
I think I have a friend who is studying abroad right now in Europe, and we talk a lot, even though there's kind of like a time zone difference between us, mostly through Snapchat. And so we don't have to worry about like setting up a time to be able to like FaceTime each other when we're both available and it's like a good time for both of us, not too late or not too early for one or the other. We can just use Snapchat and still kind of like keep up with each other's days and see each other's faces and be able to talk to each other without having to worry about the time zone change, which is really cool.
Yeah, I did a study abroad program this summer, and it was nice being over there. I could still communicate with my family and friends here from around the globe, and then now that I'm back, I can communicate with all my friends from study abroad who live around the world in the country, and I have instant access to them just through my phone, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. So, next point is that social media advertising is cheaper than any other way, and I think it's one of the best things about social media, because it costs virtually nothing for companies to set up accounts and share what information they have. The only real cost of the social media marketing is the time they put into it. And to compare, traditional marketing campaigns, unlike social media, have no ability to make changes or edit. So if they have something that went like drastically wrong and they misspelled something that they put out, it's very hard and costs a lot of money for them to go back and be able to fix it, whereas social media, it's just one click away to changing it. And also for social media users, it's way easier to use, or you could use data analytics to fix your mistakes also. And according to Constant Contact's 2011 Small Business Attitudes and Outlook Survey, it said that 73% of small businesses have used social media marketing. And another positive with the social media outreach is that it reaches all ages and demographics. So I know whatever marketing I'm faced with randomly, I know I've bought something off of there. So have you guys ever bought like an advertisement that you've seen on Facebook or Instagram? Because
I've bought a few, whether they have or haven't worked out, it's worked, so.
Yeah, I mean, I've purchased a few things that have appeared just in advertisements on my social media feeds, and I think the coolest part is just how targeted those advertisements are. It almost seems like the product is exactly for me or exactly what I would have gotten had I known about it. So I think it's nice that it's very personalized.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting how advertisements that we've bought stuff off of, how they can be targeted to be specific and so that you can spend the least amount of money connecting to your target audience, as well as having small businesses who can create their own social media marketing programs and like send out tweets, and all it really takes is for one tweet to go viral, and that's millions of dollars of publicity all for free, and the only cost was the manpower that it took to either send the tweet or send the Instagram post or whatever it might be. And it's an easy way to get something that can be unintentional or it can be intentional, both ways of getting publicity.
I get a ton of sponsored posts on all of my social media platforms, but I don't think I've ever specifically like clicked on one and bought something straight from that. However, I do follow a lot of different brands on social media, and I think that if I'm seeing what a brand puts on social media and on the internet, if I see that like their values fall in line with my values, I'm more inclined to have kind of like a brand loyalty with them. And so I think that's also something that is really cool that they're able to do through social media.
Yeah, I mean, the advertisements are definitely weird, but it works. So lastly, this is kind of a small point, but the role that social media has in education is also important. Like, for instance, colleges will put out a ton of Facebook groups or Instagram accounts to get the word out for different clubs and groups. And I think that helps attendance drastically. And then also, when I was younger and would be on like Facebook and someone would lose their phone, they'd start a group with hundreds of people that they didn't even know, asking for everyone's numbers. And they would get random people's numbers that they didn't even know. I think that's like an effective way for how people use social media to gain knowledge. So on this podcast, we looked at social media and the impact of youth development, specifically how social media has developed over time, how social media affects mental health, and the positive aspects of social media. Join us next week to hear about something probably way less exciting.